From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Alyssa Block. If you find yourself craving New Orleans food, you could go there and melt in the sweltering heat for your dose of gumbo or beignets or praline bacon. Trust me, one of the best things on the planet. Or you could settle in on your couch, as I've been doing, and torture yourself watching reruns of the HBO series Tremé. It's set in post-Katrina New Orleans, and along with the music, it puts the city's food on center stage.
We start with the sweet potato andouille shrimp soup.
Oh, yeah, beans and rice.
What's this? Oysters Moscow.
Bread pudding.
Old boys aren't sandwiches.
They're a way of life.
Frenchelada. It's our version of a muffalada served on French.
Oh, breaded pork chops and butter beans.
Mm-hmm. Well, now if you want to cook it for yourself, there's the Tremé Cookbook, billed as stories and recipes from the heart of New Orleans. It's written by Lolis Eric Eli, who's a writer and story editor for Tremé and a food writer before that. And Lolis, important to say you are a native of New Orleans, right?
Born and raised.
Born and raised. Well, let's talk about the cookbook. It's divided into sections, and each of them is told in the voice of one of the characters from the show, right? Whether it's Jeanette, the chef, or the trombonist, Antoine Baptiste, or all the others.
Well, a big part of what we try to do in the show is introduce you to different aspects of New Orleans, having characters of different races, different social backgrounds, and even from different parts of the city. So when they get together to tell you about their New Orleans, I thought it would be best if they told it to you in their own voice and have their own chapter and not be interrupted by each other.
It must be fun to channel those voices, both for the show and for the book, when you're thinking about the food that they would want it from their kitchen.
Well, you know, these are the voices I hear when I walk down the street here. Boy, you got to soak your red beans before you do them the night before. Otherwise, they're going to take forever to cook. Or you need to put pickle meat in them beans. I don't know what all this vegetarian stuff is about. You need you some pickle meat. That kind of thing.
Yeah, everybody has an opinion, right?
Exactly. And, you know, people talk about the fact that you'd be sitting in the supermarket line in New Orleans and people would say, oh, how you going to fix that? White beans and shrimp, what you going to do with that? I don't think that happens as much in other cities.
You know, one thing about Tremé that's so interesting is that it includes real-life musicians and real-life chefs along with the fictional story. And often in the show, we see the trumpeter Kermit Ruffins. And when we see him, he's often cooking, right? He's over a barbecue.
Well, that's exactly the kind of thing that is true. And people think, well, you know, you wrote that, you created this character. No, that's Kermit. His parents created that character. We talk about in the book how Fats Domino used to bring his food when he'd go on tour in Europe so that he could cook his own food in Europe. Hmm. So this is a long tradition of musicians cooking.
Tell me about Kermit Ruffin's butter beans.
I called Kermit to get a recipe. And it was clear to me that I was not going to get a recipe written down. So what I did was I went and interviewed him. And in the course of that interview, I asked him how he made his butter beans. And so based on what he told me, I wrote a recipe, sent it back for him to look at. And so unlike some of the recipes that he'll sometimes have that are kind of whimsical, this is actually Kermit's recipe.
You should have just had Kermit make you the beans, don't you think? You could have had a sampling right there.
Have you ever tried to catch up with Kermit Ruffin?
I have not.
I wouldn't advise it. Kermit, if you're out there, please call.
There is a chapter that's devoted to the voice of an older generation, right? This is Albert Lambreau. He's a Mardi Gras Indian chief. He has, in his chapter, a recipe that I've got to ask you about. It's for stuffed mirliton. Am I saying that right? Mirliton?
Mirliton.
Mirliton.
Well, there are only two places in the world that use that term, New Orleans and Haiti. In the rest of the world, they call it chayote squash. It's big in Latin America and even in Jamaica, where they call it chocho or Christophine. And that is a staple here on Christmas and Thanksgiving menus. You'll take the mirliton, you boil it, you scoop out the meat, and then you stuff it with onion, shrimp, and or sausage, garlic, celery, put it back in and bake it. It's fabulous.
What does it taste like?
The mirliton itself is relatively bland. The stuffed mirliton tastes not unlike, say, stuffed eggplant, in the sense that the truth is, by the time you put all those seasonings in it, you get a whole other sense of it.
You know, you do get a really strong sense looking through the cookbook, Lolis, of what a multicultural city New Orleans has been and continues to be, and continues to be more and more ethnically diverse.
Well, it was important to me that the book reflect that cultural diversity, in part because as I have come to understand the city better and better, I'm realizing that we can no longer talk about New Orleans in terms of merely black and white, that we need to open up the discussion because our food traditions have come from a mixing of cultures from Europe, Africa, the Caribbean, from centuries ago. And now what we're finding is that Vietnamese food, for example, is part and parcel of the New Orleans tradition. We have one of the largest populations of Vietnamese in the United States. Additionally, I see the infusion of Latino workers in the post-flood era as another infusion of one of the key elements of the building blocks of New Orleans cuisine before. So what happens now is you can now go and have tacos or go and have pupusas and know exactly what their countries of origins are. But if I know New Orleans as well as I think I know New Orleans, 100 years from now, those tacos are going to be Creole, and it will no longer be clear exactly when they came from Mexico or that they came from Mexico. Huh. They're going to be ours.
So if you were to put together, Lolis, your ideal New Orleans meal, start to finish, what's on the menu?
First thing, you got to have gumbo. Even though gumbo is enough for a meal, it's always where we start Thanksgiving, Christmas, any major meals. Got to have gumbo. The other thing I would do is go to what we call salad without papers. As you may know, WAP was a derogatory term for Italians, meaning these are immigrants without papers. And so until recently, in less politically correct times, you'd see WAP salad on the menu. It was a salad consisting of fresh greens, but also pickled vegetables. We add shrimp to that as well. And then where would I go after that? Probably to the roasted duck from Gabriel Restaurant. Greg Sonnier is a chef. And this restaurant closed after the levee failures in 2005. And so I wanted this recipe in the book because it's sort of tribute to that restaurant. Then I suppose we'd need some sort of dessert.
I think we do.
We go to Pound Cake Paul Tremaine, which is a recipe named after one of the great heroes of the New Orleans civil rights movement of the 1800s. This man was a newspaper man. And, of course, some cafe au lait.
And that pound cake, I think, has chocolate chips and pecans in it.
Well, Melissa, sometimes you can't decide what you want.
Just throw it all in there.
Exactly.
Lolis, it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
That's Lolis Eric Eli, creator of the Treme Cookbook, Stories and Recipes from the Heart of New Orleans. And Lolis, when does season 4 of Treme start?
Season 4 starts December 1, so please stay tuned.
Long time to wait.
Indeed, indeed. Eat between now and then.
Okay, we'll do.